This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
It's time for your View from the C-Suite in partnership with Altron here on Classic Business, bringing you closer to the business leaders around the boardroom table. And it's an interview where the rules are made up and market caps don't matter. My next guest is one of the founding members of King Price Insurance. It was launched back in 2012 with this idea and concept that there had to be a better way of doing insurance. It's not something that people inherently jump out of bed and want to go and purchase. And so the only insurer in the country that offers premiums that decrease monthly as car values drop was born. You fast forward to 7 years and the company has grown phenomenally. The latest numbers that I've seen, and they're probably out of date, show a 3.5 billion rand company with 94% year-on-year growth for the 2018 financial year. It sold more than 400,000 policies and expects to deliver on projected year-on-year growth of 50% for the next 7 years. King Price CEO Gideon Galloway is a phenomenal success story. And Gideon, you're only getting started. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thank you to your audience for the privilege to be on air.
Now, I met your so-called Darth Vader of data at an ITWeb conference this year, Dr. Eugene Vessels, and he absolutely lit up, which is a typically conservative IT conference. He used midgets and showmanship, but also incredible substance in terms of how you're using artificial intelligence and the latest analytics. You found such a unique blend of business and fun at King Price. What was your life before King Price? What did you study at school?
Oh, well, I studied computer science, so that's where a passion for technology comes from. And I think somewhere between studying and socially too much, I changed course and I had art as a subject. And that's where my world of advertising started. So I passionately got involved in adverts and all of those things. Later in my life, I had an advertising agency. But insurance is just such an intriguing business. All the gears that fit together, and it's unbelievably scalable. And, and South Africans are very good at financial services. So I just always thought it would be great to have both my passions pursuing forward. So that's why we do have fun around in the office, and our marketing is a bit quirky and so, but everything we do with a purpose. And we might not look that serious, but there's some good technology and numbers running in the background. So we always have fun with a bit of purpose.
Well, there's seriously good numbers in the background. As to my introduction, you know, the 3.5 billion rand in 7 years in an industry that has established players, that has seen the barriers to entry lower, obviously because of technology, but still you're fighting competitors with almighty marketing budgets, as you all know. When you sat down back in 2011, 2012, when you conceived the idea, what did you initially see as the opportunity? What was that gap in the market that said, right, I'm not going to get out of marketing and into the world of insurance?
I must say it turned out well. So what we planned, we achieved. We just a bit behind. So the plan was a little bit more aggressive, and as you know, in life you get obstacles and you overcome them. So we're privileged enough to achieve what we thought would be the gap in the market. What I think what you don't always see on a spreadsheet when you plan is, you know, the people and the atmosphere and the offices. I never thought it would be this much fun. Obviously, we planned and we know that we don't want to be as conservative as your more traditional companies, but to actually in real life see how we operate daily. I mean, we have daily bus tours now with school kids coming through the offices and varsity and faculties and other companies. And we do that for free. And how that explodes on social media. I mean, those are the things that you don't plan for. And like you mentioned, Dr. Eugene Vessels earlier, I mean, there's 10 other superstars like him. So it's definitely a team effort, and people build a business at the end of the day.
That sounds like it was part of your, as you say, things happen. There's a chemistry. There's some things that don't happen on a spreadsheet that just unfold. But it does sound like it was very much part of your plan, part of your strategy to ensure that you're an organization that allows a culture of innovation and irreverence while also being serious business people.
No, 100%. And I mean, I did have experience in my previous insurance life, if I can call it like that. So it's not like everything was designed from scratch. We had a nice blueprint, and you just tweak from there. And some of these things we have tried in other business launches. So, it's not just like we threw everything in a pot together and tried for the best. There's some proper planning and we tweak along the way so you get something that works.
And it obviously does work. Let's just talk a little bit about the model and how you've used technology, because if you look at the industry, it really has. It's nearly perfected the simplification of what can be an overwhelmingly complex area, such as insurance and underwriting. There are very small profit margins. There's common products between competitors. Clients are often upset or unhappy with their insurance providers. And as I said earlier, it's not something that is bought. Insurance is something that is sold. You've got to go out and sell this product. So how have you ensured that you remain ahead of the game and innovative using the latest technology?
I think insurance has become a commodity. I don't think people is really that brand loyal. It's not like you wake up this morning and say, yes, I'm going to buy insurance from X, Y, and Z. So I think price is a big factor, especially in a country like ours where 70% of the people of cars on our roads aren't insured. So I think cost is a massive, plays a big part in that. And then and fraud. I think the amount of premium that goes to fraud is substantial. And I think there at the industry, I think we've come a long way, if you think in 12 years ago. But there's still massive fraud happening. I think everybody has kind of solved the service. Service is good across the industry. You can just go to Hello Peter and most of the times. It's not your cowboy days where you can not pay out claims and all of it. I think all insurers really want to, as fast as possible, pay the claim, catch the fraud, and that's how you retain your customers. I think our gap was to, we live by the value of lower premiums, higher purpose. So everything we do, we try and strip out the unnecessary, all the reward points and all these things that just add on to the premium at the end of the day. We give it optional to clients, but as if we can give a core product that's fully comprehensive insurance, not advertised as fully comprehensive, but you get something else. So we wanted to throw out all the bells and whistles. Where can technology assist in the back office operations to make it just far more leaner, cost effective, and then scale it? So that was the mission, and I think we achieved that. In the beginning, most people laughed and said, you can't decrease your premium, you'll never make profit. But if you think about it, the asset that depreciates, why shouldn't the premium go down? I think it's quite logical that everybody should be doing it. The point was everybody just bought their financial models of increasing every year. But if you actually just work it on a spreadsheet, then you realize that if I have my client 6 months longer than your average lifetime policy by just treating them better, you'll still make your margin. Everybody's happy. There are other ways of doing things, and we just wanted a more customer-centric business model where we retain our clients longer.
And from that customer-centric point of view, what makes you believe that you are delivering?
You can probably measure it at any point in our business. So one good thing about us, but it's not only to us. You measure all the touch points with the customer, and you get software for all of that. But we don't have legacy systems. I literally on my phone have a dashboard for every single metric in this company up to a minute. So I can see a claim coming in Durban. I can see what the sales guy is doing. I can even see the HR stats, collections, all of those things at the push of a button, including customer satisfaction. So and we've got an in-house team that immediately hops on that. So it's not a scenario where we will take 2 weeks to get back to somebody on social media, anything. It's replied within a minute, it goes to the team, it goes to the manager, it's actioned immediately. And that filters through to you later on things like Hello Peter, the Ombudsman, all these type of things that measure it, that you score well and you can compare yourself against the industry, and we tend to be on the top three most of the times. And obviously you do get your, what's it, gatekeepers, or what is it called? But that goes through the normal process. And you can't keep everybody happy. There's really situations where people out in the market are, one thing about insurance, there's a lot of fraud. So, people literally would steal and come up with the most amazing stories. with all the evidence in front of them and still not be satisfied. But I mean, I think there's where you draw the line and say, you know, we've bent over backwards to accommodate you and all of it, but we can't allow this because every one of those that you don't catch, I mean, it costs everybody else a lot more. As I mentioned, the idea is to buy up as soon as possible. I mean, our new app, we want to, like some of the insurers in the States, buy within a second and just send a digital voucher, go and buy your new TV, Lightning, knock it out. So using all these fraud and analytic tools, that, I mean, if you had a loyal client for 3 years, why should you go through this whole call center process and all of it?
And that's where the data science and the AI that your Darth Vader of data was talking about really comes in. And if you look into the future, though, Gideon, this looks like it will undoubtedly just become the commoditized model of the future. Very difficult to see how other insurers will remain in business if they're not adopting this kind of technology, because consumers evolve and they're going to start expecting this from all of their insurers. So how do you stay ahead of the game? Where are you looking for new growth and new opportunities?
We're entering the life market now. There's always enough growth left and we're small. So we, I think we now got just over 2% market share. So I think there's still a lot of growth. Where you definitely have it correct, Michael, is that I think everybody's putting money into technology. The big thing I still see there is that if you're going to run it on a backbone of a legacy system, it's always going to be slower. You've met Adopt Eugene, that's data analytics. The big point come in your granularity of your data. You want to be able to know and analyze certain yardsticks in every moment of your customer journey. Now, on older systems, or if you're working with some of these big systems, you just don't get that granularity, and therefore your AI tools and all of those would be less efficient. But I mean, I think everybody will get there in time. As you said, otherwise, I just think you won't be competitive in the future. And as that race continues, we just always try and stay ahead of the pack. Try and always stay lean and learn. I think a big mistake that and even us can make, and we would really try our hardest not to, is always to remain humble and learn as much as you can, and never think that you're the number one now and can't learn anything else. So I think if you have a learning mentality, and there's unbelievable technology out there, and that will just keep on coming.
Now, Gideon, whenever I chat to deal makers and I say to them, what's the most difficult thing that you've had to overcome in your career? What's the most difficult thing when you're putting a deal together? And often it's said that it's evaluating the partner across the table from me. You can have the finest brains that know the technology, that know the numbers, CFAs and quants and all the rest of it. But understanding that human element really becomes quite critical. So how do you recognize a promising potential business partnership? Do you have a gut instinct? Do you go in there? Do you guys need to play a round of golf? How do you go about developing those relationships?
Oh, that's a good question, Michael. You're going to laugh at me. I always want to drive with somebody. So I want to, because like you said, and I've been wrong there as well. So I think that's a golden formula, but it definitely works for me. I think when you have a beer with somebody around a fire and you drop all your guards and mask, you really get to know the person across from you. And that in my life, or in my management style, means a lot to me. You know, trust and who is this person? And for the business partnership, because alignment is key. If you want to move fast and we're going to work together, we should want the same thing and be able to trust each other. And that has definitely worked for me over the years. I've got numerous examples of that. And for the other person as well, I think if there's a relationship before you start the journey, then I think you just cut out so much problems and things later. But as I said, I have been wrong as well. But all the other tests and analytics I've done, and I've had shadow matches, tools, tests, all of it, none of them worked. And like I say, some of them work, some of them don't. So I'm not discounting that. I just like the gut feel human element.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it boils down to chemistry at the end of the day as well. And as you say, you're walking on this journey together, you need alignment. There are going to be times when things are not going well and you need that sense of humor, you need that alignment, you need to see eye to eye to get through through the dark times, but also then to excel when you have a shared vision. It's amazing what unlocks, as we've seen with the Springboks and what they managed to achieve under Rossie Erasmus, and having an alignment with all of the players really buying into a vision, knowing where they stand. You're renowned for that irreverent positioning in an industry that, let's face it, just isn't known for seeing the lighter side of life. What are the essential qualities for a newcomer to the King Price team? How do you go out and ensure that, you know, that there is alignment throughout the team?
Well, we actually have a good person. I think we always look for attitudes. I can't tell you how many people I've employed which literally didn't come for a job interview. I just like the way they presented, or I've got a guy here, he's called my Disney guy. So he just makes things look like Disneyland here, for example. But the process would be, we interview, we now also have funny things, because each department do their own thing, but the one department plays Pictionary, for example. So all the traditional questions and all of those things is, we throw out. You should see that in the CV before the time. And then IT is a bit different, so they would write tests and things like that. But I mean, if we like a candidate, they come, they put in leave, and they spend a day here at work. And it's good for them, because they want to know their culture fit. And they work in a team where they will be working. And that team can decide this new candidate can make coffee, or they can start working, or just enjoy themselves. And then at the end of the day, the team votes if they are in favor of employing this candidate. And then only does the candidate get their employment letter. And then before they start their first day, they get a pack, a welcome pack at home. So when the first day that you arrive here, you are welcome. You already know where you're going to work. You go for your induction week training and learning the company values and all of those kind of things. And that's how you create insiders. Because what tends to happen is a person rocks up at a new job and then the laptop wasn't ordered. He doesn't feel home. He's going to sit there at the cafeteria and then become an outsider, because the outsider is then going to pull him in. And then that's how you, I would not like to do it. You know, you want to create insiders that talks about us and all of those things in the company. And then on top of that, we have a quitting bonus. So in our first month, and I tend to do that in my welcome presentation to the new employees, I would say if you quit today or in the first month, we'll give you 50,000 Rand and your first month salary, and if you're not a culture fit. And in the 4 years, only one person has taken it. The thinking is just there, it's going to cost me more money in any case to get a guy out that doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
So let's just waste each other's time and we can find somebody in your place. We have unlimited leave for the managers and a couple of other cool things we do here. But I mean, so we have a huge focus on getting the right talent and culture into our business. And I would say a sense of humor and a great attitude and a team spirit. Like you mentioned, the Springboks, that kind of team spirit.
Yeah.
That the team is better than any individual. It's that type of character that we're looking for.
Absolutely. And we just see it, we just see it in abundance in that team, and certainly in abundance when you meet anyone who does work for King Price. Initially, when I saw the marketing, I thought, oh, what is this? What is going on? But when you understand that it is something that you live by, it really has an endearing characteristic to it in a market, as I said earlier, that can be pretty grey-shoed. Now, what is something you would go back and tell your younger self? With everything that you've learned, with all the highs and lows and, you know, bootstrapping this business as you did, it was friends, fools and family in the beginning, and I'm sure those early investors are very glad that they did back you, but what would you go back and tell your younger self?
I would have prepared more capital, definitely. If I did that from the beginning, because half my life was spent pitching, and I think looking back is to not don't be too fast about. I know you must be detailed and all of that, but don't sweat the small stuff. It's like the Rossi. I heard an interview yesterday of just how much more mature and more humoristic you became in time, more relaxed. And that feeling amongst the people around him just brings that calmness and all of that. So I don't say I was heated when we launched, but I would tell my younger self that, you know what, the world's not going to end tomorrow. Don't take it too hard and plan a bit more. I mean, we did plan properly, but I would just say, you know what, the sun is going to shine tomorrow. Don't worry.
That's super. Especially when the Springboks are bringing home the Webb Ellis Cup for the third time. Gideon, a great pleasure chatting to you, and look forward to continuing innovation and certainly marketing genius that does tend to come out of King Price, an insurer that has turned the short-term market on its head. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
That was Gideon Galloway sharing his view from the C-suite, brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.